corn and soybean farmers are making less money per acre than they have in years. As WFIU's Brock Turner reports, some are trading corn and soybeans for solar panels.
Mark Simons has been farming for 44 years. The majority of his nearly 1,000 acres are corn and soybeans. But he's in the process of adding another crop into his rotation, one that also relies on the weather.
The word solar farm kind of capsulizes it because the electrons produced out there are just another crop. Instead of producing carbohydrates, we're producing clean, renewable energy that goes on for a long time.
He says he'll have his 4,500 modules up, running, and delivering electricity to the grid before the end of the year. Simons is joining a growing number of farmers across the country who are hoping to diversify their revenue streams. Experts say the number has increased significantly since the cost of solar panels decreased about 10 years ago. That cost decrease made the math work for Simons.
To me, it's another crop. That's how I look at it, and that's how any businessman would look at it, I think. You just got to compare the costs and the revenue.
But as with most crops, producers are reliant upon a number of factors that determine the price they get.
Utilities have a lot of political power, a lot of money behind them. They would like to see power production stay in their hands rather than making it more egalitarian through more distributed energy. I think the big money wants to, you know, maintain their control of the power system.
Simons says his provider is supportive, and without it, he couldn't be starting this project. But the end goal of utilities and electric providers is important to remember. Rural electric cooperatives, which serve a large portion of Hoosiers living in those areas, are nonprofits. Their primary goal is to provide cheap power to less dense areas where the economics don't make sense for private providers to operate.
When we do a deal, we're always looking to see how does this stand up on its own. So we don't want to overpay for power.
That's Brian Anderson. He's the Director of Economic Development and Public Relations at the Wabash Valley Power Alliance, a nonprofit that provides electricity to individual member co-ops. They're the ones who are generating that electricity that could be powering your home. 2 years ago, Indiana ended its net metering policy, which incentivized solar by providing solar customers the higher retail rate instead of a lower wholesale rate for excess energy they delivered back to the grid. Despite that policy shift, Anderson says he's seen more people interested in solar.
We've seen an uptick in interest from just landowners in general looking for sustainable solutions than making some of those economics work.
Energy experts say it's unlikely Indiana will return to net metering, but note it's important to craft durable policies that won't change over time. Sonia Carley is a professor at Indiana University's O'Neill School of Public and Environmental Affairs.
There's leaders and laggards, and there will, of course, be some companies and some states that lag behind the others. And in those cases, yes, it probably will happen. It'll just happen much later than those that are taking the leadership role.
Carley says the cost of solar has decreased significantly in recent years, and the technology has continued to improve.
It's projected that we'll get 1.85 million kilowatts out of here. That's enough power in a year to power approximately 180 homes.
While Simons admits the policies in Illinois make it more economical, he's excited to get these 8 acres in Indiana operational.
There's more money in producing electrons than in producing corn and soybeans at this time, particularly at this time.
And even with an absence of state incentives, Simons believes this project will still bring in more money than the hundreds of acres of corn and soybeans he currently has. For WFIU News, I'm Brock Turner.